This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sunday morning on Sports Radio 99 The Game. John Friggy with you at 404-726-0929. Want to jump in and talk to you about the Falcons, about the Hawks, about the Braves, about United. Anything happens to be front of mind for you. Certainly the Falcons are going to be always kind of front of mind, but we got a lot to discuss if I get a Braves fan in here about what's going on down in Florida heading towards opening day. Because here in March we're going to have opening day of baseball. We're going to have the tournament. Obviously, United season's underway. Hawks continuing to kind of play out the string here in what is, it's going to be what it is kind of year. We all understand that. And, you know, what's going to happen in the offseason for them. And the Falcons. One of the things I will say about the Combine, I always get a kick kind of. I enjoy watching the Combine. You know, last day's today, obviously. Just north of where I am, Bloomington's about 50 miles south of Indianapolis. So they're you know, up there at the combine, and the workout warriors, you know, again, look like Tarzan, play like Jane. Everybody will jump on him. Landon Jackson, oh my God, he's 6'6", 365, his vert is this, he's, you know, this and that, blah, 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 blah. You know, this kid, this man out of Arkansas, and he may be, by the way, a great player, but there are three separate things you have to consider. And one of them is, okay, what does he do when he's doing, like, the skills competition? Let's call that what the combine is. Does he fit all the metrics and the skills? And great, you know, he does that. You know, what is he like as a person? You know, is he a good person? Again, James Spears Jr., well, we all know can play, but a lot of buzz that he's going to drop in the draft, maybe drop quite a bit because of his character issues. You know, so that's something that makes teams a little bit skittish, and we all know how the Falcons filter works, right? And so when we're talking about guys like James Spears Jr. or Mike Green, I know, but everybody's going to have to, you got to just do your due diligence to make sure of who somebody is here, because you don't want to run into the Aaron Hernandez, Lawrence Phillips. I'm not saying those guys are those guys. I'm just saying you don't want to run into that, because it's a really important, don't undersell how important the background check of the interview is. And it's as important or more important than the combine. And then, of course, the tape doesn't lie either. And you got to find out, okay, can this guy play? Because I could go over countless, and I mean countless, countless, countless times where people were calling into shows or even scouts that I talked to who would fall in love with a couple of players who turned out not to be any good. But because they fit everything. Oh, my God, he's going to be the greatest thing, and blah, blah, blah. And then other times where guys were not really good at the combine, and you said, all the dude does is make plays, And there were a couple of times, like in the past, that I've recanted stories about. One of them was Terrell Suggs, who, when he was at Arizona State, for those of you who don't remember when he played college ball and didn't watch Arizona State when Suggs was there, all Suggs did was make play after play after play after play after play. And he goes to the combine and runs like a 4.8. And everybody goes, oh, my God. And he goes back to Tempe to his pro day, and they say, okay, he'll fix it. 4.8 again. And they went, oh. Baltimore takes him, and all Terrell Suggs does is make play after play after play after play. So, you know, it can go both ways here. So the combine, the combine's like one third, one third, one third. And I don't even think it's that. I think it's more like the combine is like 20%. And then the character thing and the interview process is like 30%. And the tape is 50%. So of the three areas when you're making a determination, I think the combine's probably the least important. A guy could just have a good day, just could be feeling good, he's healthy, he's not getting hit, and running in, you know, underwear, Olympics, is not the same thing as running in pads. I really wish they would do this. I really wish they would run the combine in full pads. That's what I think they should do. Then you get a better idea of how the guy runs in gear. That would be a better thing. Should run the 40 and the shuttles in pads. Everything should be done in pads. Pads and helmets, even though you're not getting hit. It would help a little bit. Let's go to Michael. He joins John. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. I just wanted to give my opinion. This draft, NFL draft, is deep in defensive tackles. And I would love to see the Falcons move back and pick up maybe a third rounder and come up with Walter Nolan, which is a really good defensive tackle, and then in the second round turn around and get another defensive tackle, either Big Hartman or some of the others, because there's several really good ones.
Yeah, there are a lot of good interior defensive linemen. Yeah, you're correct. I mean, without picking names, because we can't know how they evaluate the players, Michael. I agree with you. I mean, that's so. Let's go to the larger question that I posed at the beginning of the show. Do you get a sense? Because I'm starting to get a sense here. Look, we know that Jadon's not going to be back. We know Lo Carter's not going to be back. I mean, there's certain things that are obvious, right? You're going to go with guys like Braylon Trice, and you're going to go with you know, Ebba Cady, and with you know, Caden Ellis and whatnot. Jeff Ulbrich, being a linebacking coach, you know, kind of in his, you know, bailiwick, and then as a defensive coordinator, I think he's going to want to go for some speed, but he's going to need some big interior guys. It would not shock me if they were having to choose between Onyemata and Grady, or if they got rid of both of them. And when I say get rid of, it's not that they're kicking them to the curb. They have value to other teams. But, you know, replace them and went with Rook and went with, as you said, a couple of interior defensive linemen to kind of, you know, reshape the defense. And because, and it wouldn't bother me if they did. The question is, do you think that they might? Do you think that Grady Jarrett might not be here?
I feel they should do it. Grady's going to be 32. Onyemata's going to be 32. Bottom line is, we were near the bottom in many defensive stats this past year. You know, it's not working out. We need new people. It would help with the salary cap. It would free up money. And we would be able to get some other players that would really help us, because we really don't, in my opinion, we really don't need two rookie defensive ends. We got Trice. He's going to be here. It would be good to move back, get the big guys on the rookie contract, you know, big guys that can be developed, and some of them are exceptional. And then in the third round, maybe look for a corner, and please don't forget about getting a kicker. You know, we need to fix.
Well, I know that's okay. That's something you don't worry. We're not drafting a kicker. first off, I think that they're comfortable with Young Wei being the kicker at the beginning of the year. I mean, if there's going to be a change, because he was just injured. Young Wei's going to be the starting kicker on this team. Okay.
And
if there's any problem with that going into camp, they'll make an adjustment, and they're not drafting a kicker.
Yeah. Well, it would still free up with a moving back would free up where they could get a corner. And again, that would be under a rookie contract. And basically free up cap money for so they can get – we need another linebacker in here. I heard – I was.
Oh, yeah, you need a lot, Michael. Right. You need a linebacker. You need a corner. You need a safety. You need a nickel. You need an edge. You need an interior defensive lineman. You need at every position. Which is why I agree with you. I think we're starting to think Nick Amawari, you know, I mean, if he's there at 15, you can't move back if you love him. You know, but I don't know that they do. I'm just saying, if that's a guy that you, we have to have him, then you don't move back. You take a guy that if they're sitting at 15 and there is no difference between 15 and 22 in their book and they can move back and pick up another pick, you do that. But if you're sitting there at 15 and there is a guy that you think is, this is what, again, what happened with Penix last year. There is a guy that you project to be a multiple Pro Bowler versus we don't know what we're getting after that. You have no choice but to take that guy.
I understand that. I really do. But it better be, it's got to be gold. It's got to be like a Penix pick. You know, I'm looking at the fact that if they move back, that's going to help the team in the long run to pick up another pick. Because we lost some picks. So I'm just looking at it like this. The defensive tackles is deep. It's a lot of good defensive tackles.
And there are, Michael, and I agree with you. There are a lot. I appreciate it, Michael. Thank you very much for the call. No, Michael's right. It's a deep defensive tackle draft. There's no question of that. And so there are a lot of good defensive tackles. You'll get really good players in the third and fourth round. And there's an argument to be made for that because of the you know, massive needs on defense for this team. The other thing you have to keep in mind is who's making the picks and why are they making the picks. All right, you're always making the picks to make the team better, but you're trying to make the team better now because the people making the picks may not – we're not – there is no drafting for the future, okay, taking place. There are no moves – right now that are about, what do we project somebody to be like in, say, year three? If they don't produce in year one, you're out in your keister. What they do in year three is going to be with a different coach and a different general manager and a different defensive coordinator. So everything in this offseason is going to be designed to immediately make this team better. Let's go to Will. He's on with John. Hey, Will, welcome to the show.
Well, the winning teams – like the Patriots, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Ravens, they don't have this character thing when they evaluate players. They want winners. If the player didn't kill or rape anyone, they will draft them. That's why they are winners. They get the players who can play. And that's the only two reason I wouldn't draft a player, if you kill or rape someone. That's why we'll never have a winning team, because Mr. Holy Roller Blanks, even though he's owner, he needs to let the people do their job, and you ain't going to win as long as you keep that attitude. Well, that's like passing up on Carter. We should have snatched Carter up from the get-go. He wasn't driving the car that killed that boy.
That wasn't the reason they didn't draft Jalen Carter.
That was one of the reasons. That's the only thing that he had a blemish on his.
Yeah, but that wasn't the reason they didn't draft Jalen Carter.
That was the reason.
No, it wasn't. The reason they didn't. No, you're incorrect, Will. The reason they didn't draft Jalen Carter, Will, was because they looked at Bijan Robinson and said, "Oh my God, this guy's going to be the best running back in the NFL," which, by the way, he may be close to. That's why they drafted Bijan Robinson. And not Jalen Carter.
Hey, John, we made the switch here, so I know I'm catching you off guard. But to that point that you're making about, you know, how they went up to Bijan, I'm starting to notice that's a pattern, and I wanted to see if maybe you thought this was a negative too. Are you a little annoyed that it seems like this front office goes and visits an offensive player, falls in love with them, and then completely ignores the rest of their needs? And takes them in the first round, because we've heard that now about.
By the way,
this is
Dom. How you doing, Dom? Yeah, no, I mean, but again, if you look back to last year, I mean, again, I think what they do at Terry Fontenot, what he's done in the first round is he's in his four number one picks in Pitts and London. Whether you agree with it or not, in Pitts, London, Bijan, and Penix, has said, "Oh my God, I have this guy as the number one or number two player or number one player on my board." I think in the case, especially of both Bijan and Penix, he had the, I think they came back from Seattle saying, we rate Michael Penix even on the board as co-number one with blank, and I think the blank was Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams. So they viewed Michael Penix as potentially the number one pick in the NFL draft, saying he is going to be a star quarterback. I think they looked at Bijan and said he is the best running back and the best player available in the draft. So I think it's just a case that they take – his goal in the first round is to take – you always want to take the best player available, but his goal in the first round is I'm just taking the best player on the board regardless because I want to have stars. And you can argue about – we can sit here and argue about Pitts. The fact of the matter is the man went to the Pro Bowl in his rookie year, you know, set the – you know, nearly broke the rookie receiving yards for a tight end in the history of the NFL. You know, let's see what he does because, you know, if he's still on the team, and I think he will be, you know, we have Michael Penix saying, I really want him on the team because I could do something with him. I mean, if this team is going to ascend next year and they redo the defense, Dom, they're going to ascend on the backs of Michael Penix, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. You're four number one picks. And if they do that, then everybody's going to owe Terry Fontenot a big apology, aren't they?
That's true. That's fair.
Quick break. How do you feel as we head towards NFL free agency and the start of the league year, which is 8 days away, by the way? NFL free agency is 8 days away. It's a week from tomorrow. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92 on the game. John Frankie from the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday morning, 404-726-0929. We can talk about, by the way, if you want to yak about the Braves, do the Braves have a Kelnick problem? Do the Braves have a, boy, are you already seeing little signs of Profar going, oh, yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. Do they have a Drake Baldwin problem in that how much playing time can they get him? Can they get him enough? You know, I mean, good problems to have if you're the Braves. And so we can chat about that because it is March and the Braves opening game is season opener is this month. So season opens at the end of the month. So let's get into a little Braves talk as well. If you want to talk about tournament, I don't think Georgia locked a spot. They've had some really nice wins and they're finishing the tournament. Understand the tournament committee, okay? I just want to say this because so that you understand how the tournament committee works, and I just because I've covered it for so long, I understand how they work. One of the big metrics that the tournament committee looks at, okay, you'll hear people talk about quad one wins and about quad two wins and things of that nature, but the tournament committee also looks at the health of your team. That's an important thing. If you lose a star player down the stretch, that affects your seeding, can affect whether or not you get in. The other thing they look at is your final 10 games. Are you playing your best basketball in your final 10 games? That is a big deal. If you get off to a 19-2 start and you end the season 21-12, well, that's a problem. But if you get off to a you know, a 9-9 start, but you end the season 21-12, that's a different story. Are you playing your best basketball down the stretch? That bodes well for Georgia right now. Now, they have to keep pushing through the wire. They've got to win a couple more. They've got to win a game in the SEC tournament. They can't just say, oh, look what we've done here, you know, with three big wins in the last, you know, 10 days or so. They've got to keep pushing. And so if they keep pushing, I think they're close. The problem with Georgia right now, if you think, because I saw one thing that said, well, Georgia's in. I'm like, no, they're not. There's the bubble of teams to get in isn't like, it's not like everybody says, oh, the last four in and the last four out, there's eight teams at the bubble. That's not the way. No, it's not eight teams. It's like 20. Because you don't know who's going to upset who in conference tournaments that wasn't out and suddenly is in, and they weren't supposed to be in, and suddenly they're in. And for no reason whatsoever, they're in, and you're like, okay, that'll knock somebody else out. So there's a lot of movement in the bubble as to whether or not you're in or out. And so the only thing you could do is control what you can control, which is to win as many games as you possibly can moving forward here and not have any missteps. Because Georgia's in a position where they really... Could they have one misstep and still get in? Yes. Can they have two? No, they can't have two. All right? Two puts them out. So they're going to have to, or either that or they're going to have to make a dramatic run in the SEC tournament. All right? So like all the way to the championship game kind of thing. So it looks good for Georgia, but it's not a done deal. For Tech, Dongo was crazy. All right, I get that. And it's nice to see that Damon's got the team playing in pretty good shape, and the recruiting looks good, and it looks like the program's headed in the right direction. They look like an NIT team at the moment, but if they would take it, I would do it. If I were Georgia Tech, just to get back into the postseason, I would certainly go to the NIT. They're not going to the NCAAs unless they win the ACC tournament. It's that simple, okay? They're just not. They'd have to get the automatic berth of winning the ACC tournament. I guess they could get to the ACC championship game if they won out and got to the ACC and lost a heartbreaker. They might get in, okay, as you know, a play-in team in Dayton. Okay, sure. But the odds of that are pretty slim. 404-726-0929. Now back to the Falcons here too. What they're going to do here in the next, again, free agency starts a week from tomorrow. What they're going to do in the next 8 days is going to be fascinating. What they're going to do in the next 2 weeks. What do you do with Kirk Cousins? What do you do with Grady Jarrett? What do you do with Onyemata? We certainly think, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you got to re-sign Dolman. You got McGarry. We understand that there are other players out there that we look at and think, okay, what are you going to do with Simmons? I would bring Simmons back. Dolman would be my number one guy to bring back. Simmons would be my number two guy to bring back. I would bring McGarry back. Some of the others I'd just let walk. And Grady, I'm still sitting on the fence of Grady. I think you can make a case either way. I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying that at $17 million, at 32 years old, you know, are you going to get enough out of him? I guess the way I'm trying to figure this one out is, are you going to get enough out of him this year that if he doesn't do anything after this season for you, if he's just gone, you know, and that's it, we're done with him, is it enough to go ahead and make that move here? And the only person really that can answer that is Jeff Ulbrich, because we only know what we don't know. And one of the things we don't know right now is how different this defense is going to look. It's kind of the same conversation we had last year with Jimmy Lake. We don't know how the defense is going to look from a scheme standpoint. Jimmy Lake was talking about a 3-4, but it was going to be a flex, and it was going to do this things, and they were drafting. Okay, what we saw obviously didn't work. So, you know, Ulbrich being more of an old school guy, do you need big interior defensive linemen? So, is it better for you to go out and draft somebody that's a big, gigantic interior defensive lineman? Is it better to go get a Landon Jackson and say that that's your guy and go younger with younger legs, fresher legs, 21 years old, you know, faster than it is a Grady Jarrett? Or is his leadership for Grady Jarrett so valuable that, you know, he becomes kind of an expensive version of Dwight Freeney to you to help the Dorlesses and whoever else you draft and Braylon Trice and being that, you know, father figure in the locker room, which has a lot of value, by the way. So don't get me wrong. And especially if he can still play. So I think if I'm guessing here, I think Grady's still on the team, but I'm not 100% sure. 404-726-0929. Let's go to EJ. EJ, welcome to the show.
How you doing, John? I want to talk a little bit about the Falcons. I always ask people this question. Are you a Grady fan or are you a Falcon fan? And they always tell me they're a Falcon fan. So if you are a Falcon fan, and I love Grady, and I really do, and I know Arthur loves Grady too, but I think it's time to let Grady go. And the only reason I say is, if we release Grady, we save $16 million in cap space. I repeat, if we release Grady, we save $16 million in cap space, and we are in the hole $5 million. We already starting behind the gun. So I would say that's an easy decision to me. I will go ahead and release Grady. And David, I'm your model. He's worth $8 million in cap space. So between those two guys, they had a total of 5.5 sacks last year. I repeat, 5.5 sacks. And we're paying them a lot of money. So between those two guys, we saved $24 million. That's an easy decision to me. What you think, John?
Well, I think Onyemata's gone. I think that, that's a decision that's probably been made. Grady's a different, again, I think there's a lot of things you have to take into account here. Remember, one of the things that you have to take into account is, we say things without seeing the tape here. And I'm giving you the other side. EJ, I have no problem with them passing on Grady and moving along. If that's what they want to do, this again, they're going to have to make a 1 year push here. I understand that the position they're in, the franchise is in as well. But, they see the tape and they'll go back over the tape. He was, injured. Did he come back? Is he 100%? Is he really 100%? Did he ever get to 100%? Was he double teamed? How did he play? There were times where he flashed last year and you said, oh, Grady's back. And then he disappeared again. Oh, great. And then he disappeared again. So, was that because he was getting doubled so much? One of the things we know about this Falcons team is they got run on. They got ran on right up the middle.
Yep.
They got ran on. And that was of all the things that we don't talk enough about, to me, was their inability between the center gap of the ball, which is center, left guard, right guard, of other teams to smash them in the mouth, EJ, and run it right up their butt for 5 yards every time on first down was a massive problem for this team.
Yes, you're right. And a few of those times, and I hate to say it, but a few of those times, Grady and David was in. So, I understand, and I understand the flashes, and I understand, he came off an injury the previous year. He may not be in 100, but if we're going to be a contender, we got to make the tough decisions. And I love Grady. I really do. I love him. And I know he's going to be in the Ring of Honor and all that good stuff. And I know we probably retire his jersey if need so. But if we're looking to be a contender next year, man, I really think we need to make that decision and make the tough decision and go ahead and release Grady for that money so we can find someone that can plug those gaps with the new system that we're bringing in.
Yeah, they're going to have to make a lot of hard decisions. I agree, and they're going to the decisions again are going to be made short term, and that's the only EJ, I appreciate the call. The only thing that really kind of you have to be a little bit concerned about because you're going to be making decisions here in the next, again, free agency starts a week from tomorrow. So this week, they're going to be getting a lot of guys get cut. And I know that Falcons fans are going, let's make a run at Myles Garrett and whatnot here. I get that. And Lord knows who wouldn't want to have Myles Garrett on your team. In the offseason, there was that. Then there was, there's the Chase Young could be available thing. I understand the desire. I get it. But the whole point of what they're going to be doing here in revamping the defense is to try to make the defense palatable on every level. Because let's not forget, while we focus on the interior defensive line, and rightfully so, there's a serious deficit in the defensive secondary, guys, that needs to be addressed. And if they find a safety or corner in the draft at 15, and we'll just, if it's Malachi Starks and he's there, or if it's Emin Worry and he's there, and you go, why are they drafting a defensive back in the first round with the 15th pick? We need edge guys. Because, guys, we have a problem in the secondary. We have a gigantic hole. Unless you're okay, I'm okay with Mike Hughes. That's the problem is there's a problem in the secondary. And this is the issue right now with free agency coming before the draft, of course, which is that You know, do you go out and get, you know, do you re-sign Simmons? What do you do here in free agency? Do you go out in free agency and get a corner, and then all of a sudden you're looking at, it's sort of like what happened last year where you went in free agency, you so desperately needed a quarterback that you go into free agency and get a quarterback, right? And you get, you know, Cousins. And then you get to the draft and all of a sudden you're sitting there at eight going, oh, my God, what do we do, right? Same thing can happen this year. You could say, look, we're so desperate to get another cover corner opposite AJ that we're going to spend our capital here getting whatever the best cover corner is available in free agency, and re-signing Simmons, and okay, our defensive back situation. And then you get to 15 and the guy that you're in love with happens to be a defensive back, and you're like, oh, we really need another defensive lineman, man, we love this guy. And so, you know, now you're drafting another defensive back and people are saying, wait, you just spent all that money to get to bring back a safety and sign a cornerback, and now you're drafting another cornerback when we just still don't have the edge rush. So that's the problem with the free agency coming before the draft, right? Because if you had the draft first, then you would go, okay, we know in free agency these are our holes. You know, and it's easier to fill holes in free agency than it is in the draft, because draft, somebody may fall to you that you just are in love with and may be in the same position that you just built, like what happened last year. 404-726-0929 is the number. John Fricke with you on this Sunday morning. Talking about the Falcons getting ready for free agency. Falcons have about 2 weeks to make a decision on Kirk Cousins. I think you can make arguments both ways. I wasn't able to glean a whole lot from the discussions that were taking place in the interviews of, here on the station or in the mass interviews from Raheem and Terry Fontenot. I know a lot of people were reading a lot into what was there. The Falcons are really not, they're kind of stuck. We all understand that. They're stuck with a decision of, do we cut this guy and Russ Wilson this thing, eat a lot of money, let him go somewhere else and we get nothing in return, or do we pay him $10 million and stick him on the roster and hope somebody else gets injured and trade him during the season or during camp? Or what do we do? It's not an easy position. I'm leaning towards the fact that I think that they, with both Grady and with Kirk, I'm leaning towards the decision to move on from both. But it wouldn't shock me if both are still on the team. And when I say I'm leaning, it's like 51-49. So if you can help me out with that one, what you think is going to happen, let me know. And what would you do at 404-726-0929 with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game? Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you on a Sunday morning, taking you to 2 o'clock this afternoon. 404-726-0929. A couple of buddies of mine weighing in on my Twitter, at John Fricke, JohnFricke. Paul Karen. I've known Paul for forever. Worked with him at CNN and, you know, old TV news guy. He says Falcons will part ways with Cousins, but for someone to pick up a little of his contract in a fourth-round pick in 2048. Yeah. I would take that, actually. I'd take a fourth-round pick in 2048. I don't think they're going to get anything. So there's that. I think they'll get nothing and like it. Tom Hawkins says, to me, what are your biggest worries about the Braves, minus the offense? I'm like, well, okay. And Tomahawk is a big Braves fan. Offense, healthy, and I don't think Acuna's that far away. 1 through 9, they're the best offense in baseball. It's the best lineup 1 through 9 in baseball. It's the best. It's better than the Dodgers. Okay, better than the Mets. It's the best 1 through 9 in baseball. I'm not worried about the offense. But I guess we can all, kind of view it different ways here. I still think the Braves are, what's the over-under? Dom, what's the over-under? If I'd said over-under Braves, 93.5 wins, what are you taking?
Ooh, 93. I'll go over. I think they can still hit 95, 96.
Yeah, see? Yeah, okay. Then they just won the East. All right? Okay, we're good. 404-726. You know, the whole combine, I get kind of a kick out of the combine. Look, I enjoy watching the combine as anybody else does. And there are times where certain players go to the combine and everybody goes, oh my God. And they're right. Okay. Julio Jones went to the combine and everybody went, oh my God. But that was because he had all three parts. again, I put 20% combine, 30% combine and pro days, 30% on the interview, the character issue, and 50% on the tape. Because he already had the tape. He had aced the interviews, and then he goes to the combine, and they go, oh, okay. Same with Megatron. He went to the combine, and they went, oh, my God. Well, yeah. So I don't know. So you can sit here and look at a guy who tears it up like Emin Wari did from South Carolina with his 6'3", 220 pounds, 43-inch vertical, 4.38 40, splits, everything that he was doing, and you go, oh, my God. Well, okay, but what's the interview like? And what's his tape say? Because, again, the combine to me is only 20%. Look at it this way. Dom, you walk into a bar in Buckhead, right? Or Ginny Islands, okay?
Okay.
And the bar is loaded with 150 really attractive young women between the ages of 21 and 23. Okay?
All right.
Now, there are all kinds of different, they're all attractive, but they're all kind of different heights and weights and sizes. And now you're just doing the whole, you know, does it match my height and weight, my preference, right? You're doing
right.
Now we're doing the measurables, okay? They're all attractive, but now what's the next thing we do? We do the measurables. And then what's the next thing you have to do after you do the measurables and you find the one or two you want to discuss here? What do you have to do once you want to, okay, these are the two out of the 150 I want to talk to. What do you actually have to do?
Talk to them.
Oh, you got to talk to them. Then we discover what? Either, you know, do they, you know, they meet every measurable and it's ding, 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 ding. And then you find out she's got the IQ of a potato. Okay. And the other one's got an OnlyFans. And you're like, okay.
I mean, that means she can pick up the bill.
Well, that's true. Though I think most, I saw something where of all the millions of poor, OnlyFans thing, of all the millions of poor young women who happen to, you know, sell themselves out on this, all you hear are the success stories. It's almost like, you know, Amway. Oh, I made $18 million selling Amway.
Yeah.
You know, is that most of them make like 150 bucks to put themselves out there. You know, it's like, wow. You know, most of them make nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, how do you dig that off? You know, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it's on the internet. It's there forever.
Yeah, it's forever. And so,
speaking of, you were talking about Nicky Manwari and his combine results. Did you see, I know they have the RAS scores where it's like relative athletic score or whatever, and they base it by position. Did you see, based off of his combine, his RAS was so good he would have performed at like a 10, which is a perfect or like elite athlete at like five different positions.
Yeah, right. No, I'm at 6'3", 220. He could play in a lot of different positions.
Yeah, he's insane.
No, he is insane. Now, the question is, what is the tape? Go back and watch his tape, and then you got to talk to him. Like James, people talking about James Pierce Jr. and the character issues. Is he going to plummet in the draft? Mike Green, character issues. You know, Warren Sapp dropped in the draft because of, you know, marijuana, for crying out loud. Like, that was a big deal. But so, you know, guys dropping the draft because for whatever reasons, because teams get skittish on them and, you know, or sometimes they ignore things. The Rams ignored Lawrence Phillips. They just ignored it. The Chargers ignored all the red flags on Ryan Leaf. Bobby Beathard came out and said, yeah, I made a big mistake. I ignored all the red flags because all the red flag warnings went up on Ryan Leaf. And we knew about him before the draft because I was there. I was talking about him. Going, oh, there's kind of red flag warnings about this guy. And they said, no, they just ignored all the red flag warnings. So because he fit all the every measurable. And they walked into a bar and saw Ryan Leaf and went, oh, my God. And ignored the rest. Because we've all, every guy's done it. And by the way, for all you ladies out there, I'm sure you've done it too, where you've dated somebody and you realize pretty quickly that while they fit every measurable there, that you weren't going to, this was not spousal, you weren't going to wife her. You know what I mean? You're like, how do I date her and then get out of it? I want to date her for a while, and then how do I dump her? I mean, every guy does that. That's what they say. Okay, I can have fun here for a couple of months, and then I got to figure out how to get out.
If you're really good, you get her to break up with you.
Yeah, so right. Then exactly.
Then you don't have the guilt.
Right. But that usually means you have to kind of like cheat and let her know you cheat, and then you got to do it. Okay. 404-726-0929. Hey, Ken. Let's go to Ken. Lines are open if you want to talk about the Hawks, too. You want to jump in on United, you're more than welcome. And you can always talk about your team as well. Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Hey, John. What's going on, man? Long time no talk to. But listen, you were talking about the Falcons regime and this draft and what they should do, this, that, and the other. Well, I'm in the camp of just staying at 15 because I do not trust this regime. Moving back, getting extra picks to go out and get my groceries. I mean, they got a huge sample size of failures. So do you trust that moving forward? I mean, I trust him at 15, maybe. He can mess up lesser at 15 than he could getting four or five more picks. And those players are not in the league in 4 or 5 years. You know what I mean?
So okay, a couple of things. From their perspective, remember, this isn't about 4 or 5 years from now. They couldn't care less about 4 or 5 years from now. Because they won't be here, 9 months from now if they don't do it right. Correct?
Correct. That's correct. And that's why I probably would stay at 15, man, and just take my chances there. As far as Grady go,
and by the way, back to that, just to give, and again, I'm just trying to be fair here. I think we can all agree, right, that Terry Fontenot in his first round picks has been as good as anybody in the NFL the last 4 years.
Yeah, he has, and that's why I said just keep it at 15, and just see what's out there, best player available. As long as it's not a receiver, man, we don't need more receivers, Jack.
Well, we do. Come on, man. We could use another receiver, but it's not a high priority. I mean, it's not as high a priority. I mean, it's probably the fifth priority on your list.
Well, as far as Grady go, man, I would say I wouldn't be mad if they parted ways with Grady and add some money to that cap space and go out and get a couple of nice free agents and bring them in here, man. And like you said, John, we're not far away. If we go out and pick the right groceries through free agency or in the draft, Falcons will be right back up in there, man. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's what I think. I mean, but then again, I've been accused of being a homer here, a thousand million times. But I really think that they're close. And I believe that if they do things right here, and this is why I'm going to be really fascinated to see what Jeff Ulbrich brings to the team. And I know a lot of people are like mad about a lot of things here, but let's see how this plays out. Look, they have to deliver, okay? We all understand they're on the clock here. They've got to get to, double-digit wins. They've got to make the playoffs. They've got to deliver right now. And so we all understand that that's the case. So this is all about them. It's not about our feelings towards them. And whatever they choose to do, they've got to make sure that they just make this defense mid. Now, if that means overhauling the defense and getting rid of Onyemata, getting rid of Lo Carter, getting rid of Grady Jarrett, Judon, all of them go, and you're going to bring in six new starters, through free agency in the draft, then that's what that means. And I think we can always, if they were right, if they were right, Ken, about Braylon Trice, and what they said about Braylon Trice, and of course we didn't get to see it because he got injured before the season began, was that they valued him alongside Dallas Turner, alongside Jared Verse. They had a first-round grade on Braylon Trice. Now, if they're right, then didn't they just get essentially another first-round pick on the defensive side of the ball? If he's healthy? That was Ken?
Yeah, he dropped out.
Oh, okay. But you see what I'm saying, Don?
Yeah.
I mean, you can almost count Braylon Trice as a pick for this year.
Yeah, because you didn't get anything from him this year. He's still kind of a mixed bag. You don't exactly know what he's going to be. So he essentially is an additional draft pick for you this year.
Right, because he didn't play, obviously. So he's essentially another draft pick on the defensive side of the football. So you count him, that's a plus one. Let's, hope he's healthy. Let's hope he's every bit as good as everybody says he was, and that he's really worthy of being that kind of a guy, because You know, if they're looking at him, because, again, we only know what we don't know. We don't know how healthy he is. Is he going to be 100%? We don't see him in these workouts. We're not watching him. We're not talking to him. If they're looking at him, watching him, going, you know, the doctors are clearing him and going, okay, and they could be looking at, let's just play this out. They could be looking in and saying to themselves, Jeff Ulbrich could be looking at him saying, okay, he's good, but he's not going to be great. He's still got this to work on and that to work on. We're really going to have to, guys, you know, sitting in, Braylon, I expect by the middle to the end of the year, we'll be back to speed, or whatever they're saying, right? But we're not there. Or he's going to say, look, guys, this Braylon Trice, he's ahead of the game. Because he's got a year under his belt, at least watching and learning, and he is ready to go, and he's going to be a terror on the edge. It's like us drafting. If we were drafting Braylon Trice this year, we'd draft him at 15. Heck, he'd probably go in the – we'd absolutely take him at number 15. We wouldn't take him in the third round, so we're getting him at number 15 and our guy that we're going to draft at number 15. I don't know which way that is, or it's somewhere in between. The point is that we can't know what they're saying inside, right? And all I can tell you is what they're saying inside is, boy, we better damn well do this right now, and we better do it right, or otherwise we are going to be in a world of trouble. A world of trouble. In other words, we're going to be fired. So this is put up or shut up time inside those offices, inside the front office, inside the coaching rooms. They've got to make this work. This is why I think it's going to be fascinating to see. And again, all this is going to start to happen real fast. Again, guys, free agency, what they call legal tampering, begins a week from tomorrow. And that's really the beginning of free agency. Illegal tampering is what happens when you talk to somebody prior to that, like the Falcons did with Kirk Cousins last year. And it could cost you. I get to the Falcons when they lost a fifth round pick. So you just don't want to get caught. And it was Cousins who sold him out on that, right? Kind of, sort of. Right, Dom? Wasn't it Cousins who said something to somebody?
You're saying he stabbed you on the way in and stabbed you on the way back?
Stabbed you on the way out?
On the way out.
If he doesn't say anything, Faust's like, shut the hell up, dude. Yeah, I talked to their trainer. What? Oh, dude, shut up. Top of the hour, swinging into a Sunday afternoon. Live from the Northern Kia Studios with John Fricke on Sports Radio 99 The Game.